Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the Faith Podcast. I'm Shabir Hassan, and in this mini podcast series, we are going to be discussing Quranic du'as and exploring one du'a from the Quran per episode. We hope you enjoy, inshallah, and benefit from this. Don't forget to check us out on social media at Faith Space UK. Check out our website, faithspace.co.uk, and remember to come as you are to faith as it is. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and welcome back to the Faith Podcast, where we are discussing Quranic supplications. In the last episode, we spoke about this special dua of Musa alayhi salam, asking for confidence before he is sent to give da'wah to the Pharaoh, famous dua from verse 25 of Surah Taha. And we're sticking to Surah Taha for today's episode as well, but we're actually going to verse number 114 from Surah Taha, moving away from the story of Musa alayhi salam momentarily. We're actually coming to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam himself, and there's a context behind this dua, and this dua is another dua linked to knowledge, linked to ilm, which we've spoken about previously. But this dua, it's what's amazing about this particular dua, very, very short. And again, another very popular dua that many of us already know. But what's amazing about this dua is that it's the only dua in the Quran. So it's unique in this sense. It's the only dua in the Quran in which the Prophet ﷺ, and obviously in extension all of us, we are being taught to ask for increase in something. We're being taught to ask for increase in something. And it's the only dua which is basically teaching us to ask for increase in something, right? There's no other dua like this in the Quran in which you are taught to ask for increase. Now, you know, you might be thinking, well, what is it? You know, what is it that we're being asked to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in? Is it maybe wealth? Is it maybe in children? Is it maybe in, you know, goodness, right? Are we asking Allah for increase in barakah, in blessings, in maybe His rahmah? Like, what is it that we're specifically being taught to ask for increase in? And subhanAllah, it's none of those things. The only thing that we are taught to ask for increase in is in ilm, is in knowledge itself. That's the only thing that the Prophet ﷺ, in the Quran, in this verse, he's being told here that this is what you need to ask for increase in. And we're going to speak about why this is the case and what the blessings and what the virtues of increasing and you know, developing oneself and enhancing oneself with ilm and with knowledge you know, really entails. And many other discussions that come along with it. So, as mentioned, this is in verse 114 of Surah Taha, in which the Prophet ﷺ is being told, "Qul, say, Rabbi zidni ilma." Very short, very concise dua. Rabbi, my Lord, zidni, increase me ilman, in knowledge. Rabbi zidni ilma. So, just before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Qul." So, this is singular, meaning directed at the Prophet ﷺ. Say, O Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, say, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. What is the context of this? Why is the Prophet being taught this? If we look at just what comes before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La ta'jal bil Qur'an min qabli an yuqda ilayka wahyu. That, O Messenger, O Prophet, do not hasten when it comes to the recitation of the Qur'an. Do not hasten before it's been completed for you, before it's been recited for you. Instead, say, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. What does this mean? What is this hastening referring to? So there's a narration of Ibn Abbas, and many of the tafsir books, they mention this, that in the early days of revelation, the Prophet ﷺ, he would do something. And we have to understand what, you know, what is the context of revelation? How was the Quran being revealed to the Prophet ﷺ? So we know that it came via Jibreel alayhi salam. The archangel Jibreel alayhi salam would come with the Quran directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was transmitted orally. So Jibreel alayhi salam would recite the verses which had been revealed. Sometimes it was, you know, a few verses here and there, sometimes it was a lot of verses, sometimes it was an entire chapter from the Quran. So Jibreel alayhi salam used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and recite the verses, and what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would do is he would recite after Jibreel, right? And exactly how it was recited by Jibreel, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recite it, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would memorize it, and thereafter the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would go and he would share it and teach it to the companions. And that's how it was transmitted. It was transmitted orally. So what used to happen in the early days of revelation is that our Prophet ﷺ, because of his eagerness, because of his love for the Quran, because of his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of his, you know, eagerness and his motivation and his, you know, just his desire to learn the Quran and to come closer to Allah and to develop himself and to learn more, what the Prophet ﷺ, subhanAllah, what he would do is sometimes Jibreel alayhi salam is reciting, and before he's even finished, you know, the set of verses, the Prophet ﷺ would quickly begin to recite after him, right? Just in case, you know, he misses it, or just in case he isn't able to memorize it, or just in case he's going to make a mistake or something, the Prophet ﷺ, out of his own eagerness, what would he do? He would quickly start reciting, and Jibreel would have to say to him, you know, let me finish, I haven't finished yet. Once I finish, then you can recite after me, and then we can go through it, right? But like we said, this is out of the sheer desire and love of the Prophet ﷺ, his eagerness, right, to learn the Qur'an. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to him in this verse, in Surah Taha? La ta'ajal bil Qur'an. Don't hasten with the Qur'an. Don't hasten to recite it. Min qabli ay yuqda ilayka wahyu. Before the wahy, before its revelation is complete. You know, let Jibreel, you know, reveal it to you. Let it be complete, this process, and then you can repeat after him, and then you can recite, and then you can memorize. So then Allah teaches the Prophet ﷺ a dua, وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِنِّي عِلْمًا, right? And say, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. What do we learn from this? Okay, what can we learn from this? We can most definitely learn, number one, is that we shouldn't hasten when it comes to knowledge. And the number one thing, if the Prophet ﷺ is being taught, and he's being commanded to make this dua, that my Lord increase me in knowledge, and he is receiving direct revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via Jibreel alayhi salam. None of us are receiving direct revelation. None of us are receiving wahi, right? We are having to go out and we are having to learn the Quran for ourselves. We're having to study. We're having to seek knowledge from the scholars, from those who are the, as we know from the narrations of the Prophet, these are the inheritors of the Prophets. These are the inheritors of the Anbiya, the heirs of the Prophets. Why? Because this knowledge has been passed down throughout the centuries, throughout the generations, and it's now reached the scholars that we have around us, Ahlul Ilm, the people of Ilm, as we know. So we're going to them, we're trying to seek knowledge. We shouldn't be hasty in this. In fact, we should ask Allah, right? If we're asking Allah for increase in anything, it should be for increase in knowledge. Why? Why out of all things increase in knowledge? Well, it's because without knowledge, right, what is the opposite of knowledge, or the absence of knowledge, is ignorance. And if a person is in a state of ignorance, how are they ever going to come closer to Allah? If a person is in a state of ignorance, how are they going to know how to worship Allah? But the more a person increases in knowledge, the more a person is able to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, his attributes, his names. They're able to learn about, you know, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around them. They're able to learn about how to worship Allah, how to serve him, right? The Quran that has been revealed, they're able to learn about this, they're able to learn about the Prophet ﷺ, come closer to him, and so on. Without this, a person cannot develop. Without this, without knowledge, a person will remain stagnant. And if a person is not increasing in knowledge, then the fear is either they will remain stagnant like this, or they will just be increasing in ignorance, or they will be falling into ignorance, or they'll be increasing in a lot of information, but not in knowledge. And this is why Prophet ﷺ, he says that talabul ilm faridatun ala kulli muslim, that seeking knowledge and the acquisition of knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. Now, of course, the commentators of this hadith, they discuss, so does that mean that everyone has to go out now and become an alim and become an imam and become a great scholar like Imam al-Bukhari, or, you know, Imam Abu Hanifa, or Imam al-Ghazali, or this scholar? Like, is that what it means? That everyone has to become the next Ibn al-Qayyim? Everyone has to become the next giant? Not necessarily, no. That what's an obligation upon the individual, and what's an obligation upon each individual, is that they are able to at least learn enough to fulfill their day-to-day obligations. So a person needs to know how to pray salah, what the nullifiers are of wudu, and so on, because these are things that they have to do daily. If a person doesn't know this and they're just following what they have, you know, have some little knowledge of from many years ago or as a child, how are they going to come closer to Allah? How are you going to develop your salah? How are you going to worship Allah better? right? So things like salah, things like fasting, things like hajj, things like zakat, these are day-to-day obligations. These are the things that we need to have knowledge of, right? So it's an obligation upon each and every single one of us that we have to know these things. Then you might argue, well, I know how to pray salah. I know how, you know, what the calculations are for zakat. You know, I've studied these things, no problem. That's fine. But, you know, do you not want to learn more? Do you not have the desire to come closer to Allah, to develop yourself? Where we're living in a day and age of information, where we're reading this blog and we're following these accounts and we're listening to these videos and, you know, listening to these podcasts. We have so much information around us. Do you not want to take some of the knowledge that you have that's related to your deen and consume it and further develop yourself? And we know what the virtues are of seeking knowledge, subhanAllah. Right? Our Prophet ﷺ has mentioned in numerous ahadith, there's one famous one, that you know, a person who treads this path of knowledge, who goes out with the intention of seeking knowledge and treads this path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the path to Jannah, to paradise, easy for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up the path to Jannah. For who? For the one who treads the path of knowledge. مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا. Right? A person who goes out seeking to acquire knowledge on this path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up the path to Jannah for them. And we know the barakah and the blessings and the virtues for those who go out in search of knowledge. So this is something that we should all aim to do. This is a goal that we should all have. By the end of the week, by the end of the month, how much have I learned? How much do I know about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I claim to love this man. And you know, if someone says anything about him, I get very upset. But I don't know the basics about him. I don't know his background. I don't know about his family. I don't know much of the seerah. I claim that I follow the Quran. And if anyone says otherwise, I'd get very upset, right? And this is my book, and I proudly proclaim this to the people. But if they ask me some basic facts about the Quran, I have no idea. If they ask me basic meaning of the Quran, I have no idea whatsoever. So, you know, why would we not want to go out and constantly develop ourselves, right? To go even further, the Prophet ﷺ, from again a few narrations, he's broken down knowledge into two types mainly, right? There's other categories, but mainly there's two types. And our Prophet ﷺ used to make dua for, he used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a. He used to say, oh my Lord, I ask you for that knowledge which is nafi', which is beneficial. And in other narrations, he would seek protection from Allah, from that knowledge, which is ilm la yanfa, knowledge which is not beneficial whatsoever. So you have these two main types here, knowledge which is beneficial and knowledge which is not beneficial, right? So what does this mean now? So, the, you know, scholars such as Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, he says that any knowledge which isn't beneficial is actually that which harms your akhirah, that which takes you away from Allah. So any knowledge that you delve into now, which is now, there's no benefit. It's not benefiting you in terms of your deen, and it's not even benefiting you in terms of your akhirah, and it's not benefiting even in terms of your dunya either, right? It's just like, you know, mere information. You're just reading this blog, this gossip, you know, this article, and it's got no relation, right, to anything. And it's not like it's even, you know, stimulating you intellectually, and, you know, it's not like it's benefiting you, or it's maybe to do with your work or to do with your career, nothing. It's just pastime, right? And in fact, it's a waste of time. It's taking you away from the remembrance of Allah. This could be knowledge which is not beneficial. So he says, any knowledge which isn't beneficial actually can harm your akhirah, right? And in the wisdoms of Ibn Ata'illah al-Iskandari, in his book of wisdoms, in his Hikam, he says, beneficial knowledge is the one whose ray of light expands, the ray of light of beneficial knowledge, it expands in the breast, it expands in one's chest, right? And uncovers the veil over the heart. It uncovers the veil over the heart. And when you look at the explanation, it's mainly this type of knowledge, or the best type of knowledge is, of course, knowledge to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Knowledge to do with the Quran, knowledge to do with, you know, the sciences of Quran, the sciences of Hadith, right, and all of these other, you know, things that are linked to our Sharia, right, things that are linked to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These are the best types of knowledge, right. So this is the type of knowledge that we should all be aiming for, and that we should all be aiming to increase ourselves in, right? And subhanAllah, today, because of the amount of, the access that we have, the amount of podcasts that are out there, the amount of video series that are out there, the amount of courses that are out there, the amount of institutes that we have at our disposal, you know, we don't really have an excuse like there was before, where scholars would have to travel for hundreds of miles. They used to walk on foot sometimes. Sometimes they used to, you know, go through some very, very, you know, tiresome and very, very grueling journeys, right, just to acquire one hadith. And today at our fingertips, right, we've got the complete opposite, where we've got, you know, access which is too easy now, where we take it for granted, where we can just go to Google and type one thing in, you know, fiqh of fasting, and next thing you know, you have, you know, 2 million results that come up, and we're spoiled for choice. We don't know which one to go to, which thing to follow, right, which page we should look at. So, you know, we have it at our disposal. Why are we not using it? Why can't we use it wisely? This is the most important thing. And we have to aim for beneficial knowledge. The question then could be, well, is it that anything other than Quran and Seerah and things like that is not beneficial? Not necessarily. Again, what we're saying is that there is a lot of knowledge out there which may not necessarily be linked to the deen, may not necessarily be linked to the Quran, but it still can be beneficial. It can still benefit you, right? There's certain things when you study in things like even maths, right, geometry, right, medicine, science, psychology, right, there's so many things that you can study that, you know, people study in university till today, mechanics, engineering, and these things, right, which are beneficial, education, right, teaching, and all of these things, they're still beneficial. Why? Because it's benefiting you definitely in the dunya, and even for your akhirah, these things are good. Right, it helps you, it enhances you, it develops you as an individual, makes you a better person, right, makes you more intellectual. These are good things. So we're not saying anything other than the Quran, just leave it. So if you're enrolled at university, if you're enrolled in a college, leave that all behind, just study for the sake of Allah now. No, that's not what we're saying. But knowledge which takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowledge which does not improve you, this is a key word. Knowledge which doesn't bring about any improvement in you, whether it's in your character, whether it's, you know, in terms of your intellect, whether it's in terms of the state of your heart, right, inwardly, outwardly, it does not improve you whatsoever. And we have a lot of that type of knowledge out there today. This is the type of knowledge which the Prophet ﷺ used to completely stay away from. He used to ask Allah, oh Allah, protect me from this type of knowledge. So bringing this all back, right? We've specified now. We've said knowledge is an obligation. We need to acquire knowledge, and we should aim for knowledge which benefits a person, enhances a person, improves a person, and, you know, ultimately benefits that person, right? This is the type of knowledge that we should be aiming for, and all of us should have this goal. That look in the Quran, amazing. Out of the thousands of verses that we have in the Quran, and out of the many, you know, du'as that are listed in the Quran, the hundreds of du'as, we have this one in particular, which is telling us to ask for increase in what? Out of all things, ask for increase in knowledge. So this is what we should aim for. And another dua of the Prophet, the full dua, which is Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a. That, oh Allah, I ask you for that knowledge which is beneficial. Wa rizqan tayyiba. And I ask you for that provision which is pure. Wa amalan mutaqabbala. And I ask you for actions which are accepted by you. And this is it. Ilm directly links to amal. That your knowledge directly links to your actions. Without knowledge, with a void there, your actions are going to be incomplete, because you don't know what you're doing, you don't know how you're doing it, you don't know how best to do it. So with knowledge, your actions improve. Your actions become more valid and more beloved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, if your knowledge is sound, then your actions are also sound. And if your knowledge is pure, then inshallah our actions will also be accepted. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us all in knowledge and in understanding. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should constantly ask Allah to also increase us in action, because knowledge without action, we can have tons of beneficial knowledge. This is the other extreme. You can have tons of beneficial knowledge. You could have memorized the Quran. You could have memorized many ahadith. You could have memorized, you know, you could know the seerah. You could know the fiqh of this, and you could know this aqidah point, and you could know all of these things, right? But if that has not changed you, and if that has not benefited you, and if that has not developed you, and if that has not translated into action, where you're not acting upon it, where you know the Quran, but your character is completely the opposite. If you know the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, but you are not living up to his example, right? If you know the fiqh of this and that, and if you know this is an obligation, but you're not carrying it out, and if you're preaching one thing, but you're doing another, this is the complete opposite. And this could lead to destruction. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and save us from this. And we ask Allah for increase in good, beneficial knowledge. And we ask Allah to increase us in action that complements that as well. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We're going to come back next time, inshallah, for another dua from the Quran. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.